and for his sake, and all the Lord's people said, amen. Amen. Well, let's look at Acts chapter 24 today. Acts chapter 24, and let me read down through this just a little bit. Acts 24, verse 1, and after 5 days, Ananias the high priest descended with the elders and with a certain order named Tertullus, who informed the governor against Paul. And when he was called forth, Tertullus began to accuse him, began to accuse Paul, saying, seeing that by thee we enjoy great quietness and that very worthy deeds are done unto this nation by thy providence, we accept it always and in all places, most noble Felix, with all thankfulness. Notwithstanding that I be not further tedious unto thee, I pray thee that thou wouldest hear us of thy clemency a few words. For we have found this man, Paul, a pestilent fellow, a mover of sedition among all the Jews throughout all the world, throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes, who also hath gone about to profane the temple, whom we took and whom would have judged according to our law. But the chief captain Lysias came upon us, and with great violence took him away out of our hands, commanding his accusers to come unto thee, by examining of whom thyself mayest take knowledge of all these things wherever we accuse him. And the Jews also assented, saying that these things were so. Then Paul, after the governor had beckoned unto him to speak, answered, for as much as I know that thou hast been a many years a judge unto this nation, I do the more cheerfully answer for myself, because that thou mayest understand that there are yet but 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem for to worship. And they neither found me in the temple disputing with any man, neither raising up the people, neither in the synagogues nor in the city, neither can they prove the things whereof they now accuse me. We'll stop there today for sake of time. And of course, we're talking about how to handle offense. We camped out for several weeks in Luke chapter 17, and we talked about we talked about the surety of offense, the scolding of offense, the severity of the scolding, the sharing of forgiveness. And then we switched gears to Acts chapter 24. And basically, we've been talking about how if anybody had the right to be offended, the Apostle Paul did. He was accused. He was maligned. He was slandered. He was beaten. He was imprisoned. Paul, his liberty was taken from him, and yet Paul determined that he was not going to live, an offended life. In fact, we find in verse 16, Acts 24, verse 16, now Paul said, and herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. And we said that Paul committed himself to having a clean conscience. He would not allow hard feelings and grudges and offenses to take control in his life. And then we said that the scriptures have a lot to say about conscience. Well, we said number two, as you can see on the screen there, number two, and this is where we want to camp out a little while today. Paul committed himself to having a cheerful outlook. Look again at verse number 10, if you will. Acts 24, verse 10. Then Paul, after that the governor had beckoned unto him to speak, answered, for as much as I know that thou hast been a many years a judge unto this nation, I do the more cheerfully answer for myself. And then skip over a page and look at Acts 26 and look at verse number 2. Acts 26 and verse number 2. Paul said in verse number 2, again, keep in mind that Paul is before these lost judges and these people that are accusing him. In Acts 26, verse 2, Paul said, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all things whereof I'm accused of the Jews. And so Paul chose to keep a cheerful outlook. And if you were part of our class last week, we said that your emotions are going to follow your actions, not the other way around. Your emotions are going to follow your actions. When we do, it affects our emotions directly. And we took a lot of time to really look at a lot of scripture there. And then we began on this, and this is where we want to focus back in again today. We said we want to give you five lessons on how you can affect your emotions by your actions. So if our emotions are affected by our actions, and they are, then what are some ways that we can affect our emotions by our actions. If you were part of the class last week, we said, and this is as far as we got, we said, number one, that we need to learn to speak cheerfully. You know what? Get your mouth moving in a positive way, and your emotions are going to follow. Now, you know, here again, the world's got this all mixed up. And I'm going to be honest with you, even a lot of Christians have this mixed up. And a lot of times even say people say, well, preacher, you know what? When my emotions get straightened out, I'll start talking right. No, you've got it backwards. Start talking right, and your emotions have a tendency to get straightened up. Don't forget, we do, and it directly affects our emotions. And so here's the thing, we are emotional creatures, some more than others, but we're emotional creatures. If you wait for your emotions to get where they need to be, and then start acting it out, you know what, you're going to be a long time before you start acting right. And so learn to speak cheerfully. And I'm so tempted to go back and go over some of those scriptures, but I won't do that today. If you were not in the class, I'll just spit them out to you. Proverbs 13:3, 1 Peter 3:10, Proverbs 18:21, Psalm 107:2. I went through those real fast, but you can go back and listen to this on the website, and you can go back and look up all of those references. And so refuse to speak those negative words. But that's going to take a lot of dedication for you and I to do that. And so learn to speak cheerfully. But I want to go on with some new content today, and we'll see if we can get through the next four. Number next is this. Not only learn to speak cheerfully, but number next, learn to look cheerfully. Now, this is simple. This is really, really simple stuff that I'm giving you this morning. But we're talking about affecting your emotions by your actions. And so learn to speak cheerfully. Number two, learn to look cheerfully. What do you mean, preacher? Number one, purposely work on looking up. Did you know that man is one of the only creatures that God created to look up? And so most every other creature lives on all fours, not man. God put man on 2 feet. And he's created us to look up. Psalm 121:1, the Bible says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. Psalm 123 in verse number 1, the Bible says, unto thee lift I up mine eyes. Again, there's that idea of looking up. Now, I know that's a song of degrees, and they were traveling up to Jerusalem. But again, the idea is still there. We're to look up. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. And so I'm just saying this, don't allow your countenance to be physically downward. Look up. Look up. Anybody remember that conversation that God had with Cain? Remember when Cain slew Abel? And God came to Cain and said, where's your brother? And Cain said, am I my brother's keeper? Now Cain knew what he had done. And the Lord asked Cain a question. He said, why is thy countenance fallen? Why are you looking down? Why are you not looking at me? Why are you looking down at the ground? Because God didn't create us to look down. And so, now again, I understand that this is really, really simple teaching this morning that I'm giving you. But, you know, one of the things I noticed, is especially among young people, a lot of young people today, is that, have you ever noticed that their countenance is down? You ever notice young people do this a lot? You know, hands in their pockets, shuffling their feet, just looking down all the time. Listen to me now. I really believe this. Our countenance, as children of God, our countenance is not supposed to be down. And so look up. You ever heard this statement? Keep your chin up. Keep your chin up. You say, preacher, things are pretty dark right now. Keep your chin up. Man, now again, sometimes that takes a little doing to do that. Pick yourself up. Pick your chin up. Don't stay down. Don't stay in the valley of discouragement. Somebody said, never despair, never despair. But if you do, go on in despair. The valley's not even really a good place to visit, but you definitely don't want to live there. That's for sure. Look up. And so we are to look cheerfully. But with that thought in mind, let me give you another idea under that same thought. Not only lift your countenance up and look up, but speaking of looking cheerfully, dress cheerfully. Dress cheerfully. Listen, look like somebody. Did you know this? Did you know that the outward appearance is a reflection of an inward condition? It is. And people say, you know what? Dress doesn't matter. Yes, it does. Where did we ever get that idea? Dress doesn't matter. That is the new talking points for the more youthful generation. Dress doesn't matter. Give me a chapter and verse on that one. What do you mean dress doesn't matter? Sure it matters. The Bible talks about dress. We're to dress like Christians. But you also ought to dress in such a way that you are reflecting what's going on the inside and it comes out on the outside. By the way, it's happening. It is happening. That's why you see so many young people in dark clothing, dreary clothing. Don't take this wrong. Y'all know at Calvary Baptist Church, everybody's welcome at Calvary. Everybody's welcome. Why do you think young people are piercing themselves up? They're piercing parts of their bodies that were never meant to be pierced. I mean, just places all over their bodies. Now, again, you know what's going on? That outward is a reflection of an inward condition. And so it's important that we dress cheerfully. And so I want to show you that. You say, preacher, you got a chapter and verse on that? Yeah, I actually do. And so take your Bibles and turn back to your Old Testament. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 12. 2 Samuel chapter 12. And we read an interesting story about King David. And David, in 2 Samuel chapter 12, David has been in what we would call a mournful state of prayer. David's baby is sick. And so David's been fasting and praying for the child that God would have mercy, that God would heal his child. And he's laying on the ground. He's fasting. He hasn't shaved. He hasn't taken a bath. He's just been fasting and praying and pouring his heart out to God. And then all of a sudden, something significant happens in the story. The baby passes away. And David hears the servants. The servants are whispering in the background, and he senses the baby has passed. And so he comes to the servants and they're afraid to tell him because they've seen how he's been in such a mournful state. And so David asked the servants, has the baby died? And the servants say, yes, he's died. Look at the story. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse number 19. The Bible says, but when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. And therefore David said unto his servants, is the child dead? And they said, he is dead. Look at verse 20. The Bible says, then David, what did he do? Look up. That's what we're saying. Then David arose from the earth, but he not only lifted up his countenance, he not only arose from the earth, but look what the Bible says, and washed. Well, that's a good idea. We probably ought to preach that a little bit nowadays. He rose up from the earth and washed, and the Bible says, and anointed himself. That's the idea of changing your, of shaving, of putting on some aftershave, of making yourself smell nice. He washed and anointed himself. Look what the Bible says here. And changed his apparel and came into the house of the Lord and worshiped. Then he came to his own house, and when he required, they did set bread before him, and he did eat. And so, you know what David knew? I've been fasting and praying for this child, but it wasn't the will of God that God saved this child. And so God took the child. And this is that famous scripture where David said, he cannot come to me, but I can go to him. And then David said, okay, it's time to get up. It's time to shave. It's time to wash myself. It's time to anoint myself. It's time to fix my hair. It's time to comb my hair. It's time to get up. I wish things wouldn't have worked out this way, and I wish the baby would have survived. Regardless of any of that, the sun's coming up in the morning, and I've got to go on, and I'm still the king. Even though I've messed up, I'm still the king. And so David got up, and David began to dress the part. Well, how many know this? A lot of times when folks are depressed and when folks are discouraged, and I'm not making light of that at all, but when folks are like that, you know what they want to do? They want to stay in the bed and stay in their bedclothes all day. You go by and visit those people, sometimes knock on their door in the afternoon, 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, they're still in their bedclothes. And so you know what? If our actions determine our emotions, that means that even when you don't feel like it, you need to speak cheerfully. Even when you don't feel like it, you need to dress cheerfully. You need to learn to speak cheerfully. You need to learn to look cheerfully. How about this next one? Number next is learn to act cheerfully. Not just hit this and go to the next one, but purposely concentrate on brightening up. Put your happy face on. Put your happy face on. You say, preacher, I don't feel like putting my happy face on. I get it. I've been there. I know what you're talking about. Do it anyway. That's what I'm saying. Put your happy face on. And then somebody says, well, preacher, you do what you want to do, but I personally, I'm not going to be a fake. I'm not talking about being a fake. Although, I tell our fellows here that are in leadership capacity, you fake it until you can make it. And somebody says, preacher, I'm not going to be a fake. If I don't feel like smiling, I'm not going to smile. Wait a minute now. That's how the world thinks. But our actions affect our emotions. And so if we understand that, and that's a clear Bible principle, and it is, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. Well, I don't feel like being a doer of the word. Do it anyway. Because our actions determine, our actions affect our emotions. And so if that be the case, and it is, then really when you smile, even though you don't feel like smiling, it's not that you're being a fake. It's you understand something the world doesn't understand. You understand that your actions are going to affect your emotions. So when you say, you know what, I don't feel like being cheerful. I don't feel like smiling, but I'm going to do it anyway. You know what you're saying? I'm going to do this because I want myself to be cheerful. And by the way, somebody needs you to be cheerful. We say this almost every single day on the broadcast. Be kind to everyone because everyone's having a tough time. And you know what the truth of the matter is? We meet people and greet people all the time, not just here at church. I'm talking about at Walmart. I'm talking about at CVS, talking about the hospital. We meet people all the time who, you know what? They need some cheer. They need some cheer. I told a lady this week, I don't know this lady, I ran into her and I just said, I'm praying for you. And she stopped and she said, well, I need it. I need prayer. Did you know that, all these things, I encourage you to go and study all this out yourself. Don't take it because I say it. Did you know that researchers tell us that it's not necessarily happiness that brings a smile, but rather a smile that brings happiness? Now, church, I tried this this morning. I experimented with this morning in my prayer. In the privacy of my study. If you'd have walked in my study this morning, early this morning, you'd have seen me smiling. And you're like, man, what's he up to? Something's going on with preacher. And so I'm just sitting there, you know, and I'm studying and I'm getting ready for Sunday school. And I thought, okay, I'm going to put this into action here. And so nobody was in there, just me and the Lord. But I smiled. I made it a conscious effort to smile. And you know what's interesting? That when you smile, you feel better. You feel better. Now, this part, I don't know. I cannot tell you this is absolutely true. But somebody said that our face is full of muscles and that it takes two major muscles cause us to smile, 74 muscles cause us to smirk. Now, I don't know if that's the case. Y'all can study that out yourself. But if that be the case, some people are overworking their face. Is that the truth? You say, you got that right, preacher. I work with them. I mean, every day I see them. And, oh, listen, hey, I'm talking about, man, Paul made a conscious choice to be cheerful. Learn to speak cheerfully. Learn to look cheerfully. Learn to act cheerfully. But hang on to this one right here. How about this? Number next, learn to listen cheerfully. Learn to listen cheerfully. An elderly woman was experiencing hearing problems, hearing difficulties, and her kids wanted her to get a hearing aid. And so they said, Mom, you need some hearing aids. The mom told them, she said, I don't want a hearing aid. And they said, Mom, you don't understand. If you would get a hearing aid, it will help you to hear better. And she said this, I've heard enough. Have you ever been there where you thought, man, I've heard enough. That's all I want to hear. Man, sometimes that 8-hour work day seems like 18. And you're like, man, if I hear any more criticism, if I hear any more murmuring, if I hear any more belly aching, I mean, if I hear one more word of profanity, I'm going to scream. If I hear one more person blaspheme Jesus, man, I've heard enough. And this part is true. You don't have to research this out. This part is true. The ears are a gate into the mind. Now, we know the eyes are, but the ears are as well. And so because of that, we have to be so careful about what we listen to. So careful. Can I show that to you? Would you take your Bibles and turn to the book of Proverbs this morning? Proverbs chapter 26 with me and look at verse number 22. Our actions affect our emotions. So if our emotions are going to be right, then that means we've got to have the right kind of actions. That means we've got to speak cheerfully. That means we've got to look cheerfully. We've got to act cheerfully. We've got to listen cheerfully. Listen to the right kind of things. Why? Because the ears are a gate into the mind. And when we let the wrong kinds of things into our ears, look what happens. Proverbs 26 and verse number 22. The Bible says the words of a talebearer. Now, that's not a word that you necessarily use a lot in your daily vernacular. But that word talebearer is just somebody that's a gossiper, somebody that's a slanderer. That's the idea, slander. Somebody that's accusatory, somebody that's negative. Seems like they never have anything good to say. Proverbs 26:22, the words of a talebearer are as, what's the word? Wounds. How many know this? A wound can be hurtful. The words of a talebearer are as wounds. Man, they hurt. And look at the next part. And they, these words, these wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. And whenever you see that word belly in your Old Testament, it's the idea of your innermost man, your heart. You ever had words that hurt your heart? Who was the idiot who said that? You know, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. What was that guy smoking, man? I mean, you know. Now, we shouldn't let words hurt us, but they can. The words of a talebearer are as wounds. And so we're to listen to things that are cheerful in nature. Be sure that you refrain from negative talk. Be sure you guard your ears against gossip and slander and even things that are depressing news. Now, I'm not against you being, you know, disconnected from society. But, and I made mention this the other day, but used to, years ago, I watched a lot of news. It was pretty much a staple in our house. Not anymore. I just don't watch a lot of it. Now, I try to stay up on, life-changing events and world events and things like that, and politics. And Brother Dave, I'm sure he'll reference a lot of that today. But you know what? You have to be real careful about watching that stuff, listening to those hurtful words. Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn over to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2 in your Bibles, and look at verse number 7. Don't forget, the ears are a gate into the mind. Anybody remember the Bible character by the name of Lot? Well, things didn't end up too good for Lot, did they? In fact, to be quite honest with you, things ended up disastrous. Absolutely disastrous. Some of the last words we ever hear about Lot were just, were stained and so dark. We believe Lot was a righteous man because the Bible tells us that. And somebody says, yeah, preacher, what happened to him? Why did he fall off the, why did he just derail? What happened to Lot that caused him to just go off into gross immoral sin and lost his testimony, lost his family, lived with the unrighteous? Well, I believe the Bible gives us a window into that. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2, look at verse number 7. The Bible says, and delivered just Lot. Lot was just. He was a just man, at least at one point in his life. Vexed. He was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. But here's the answer, verse 8. The Bible says, for that righteous man dwelling among them, those Sodomites, dwelling among them. Look at this next line. In seeing and, what's the word? Hearing. In seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Oh my. He saw the wrong kind of things. He heard the wrong kind of things. Day after day after day after day after day, those gates into his mind, those eye gates, those ear gates, were just being infiltrated with wickedness. By the way, that's why his kids lost their lives, died with the wicked. You know what one person said? Somebody said that Lot's kids went to hell because of TV. TV. You said, preacher, didn't have TVs back in Lot's day. Yeah, they did. The Bible said he pitched his tent toward Sodom. And every day they got up and the first thing they threw that flat back. Every day they threw that flat back. First thing they saw was Sodom. First thing, every day. That tent view, TV. And after seeing those things and hearing those things, it had an effect on their life. And so be sure you listen to the right kind of things. Now, I'm going to be honest with you, especially, I, for one, I'm thankful for technology. Because we can glean so much from technology today that, a lot of our forefathers didn't have anything like that. We can listen to preaching. Every single day we can listen to teaching. Every single day we can listen to church services. We can not only listen to them, we can watch them. We can read books. We can listen to encouraging books. Let me give you, for instance, I listened to an audio book the other day. Check this out. Go listen to it. You'll be a better person if you'll do this. I listened to an audio book called The Energy Bus. The Energy Bus. And when I first heard that title, I thought, that's sort of a crazy title. But I went and I listened to The Energy Bus. Man, that helped me so much. The Energy Bus. John Gordon, he put that out. And we can watch motivational videos and we can listen to audible books and we can listen to enlightening podcasts and spiritual music. And so, again, I'm just saying this, that if our actions affect our emotions, then we have to be very, very careful about how we speak. We ought to speak cheerfully. We ought to look cheerfully. We ought to act cheerfully. We ought to listen cheerfully. But let me see if I can finish this out today. Last of all, we need to learn to think cheerfully. We need to learn to think cheerfully. Now, somebody says, preacher, I wish you'd get back to preaching and quit philosophizing. Friend, what I'm talking about this morning is absolute 100% Bible. Take your Bibles, turn to Philippians chapter 4. And look with me at verse number 8. Learn to speak cheerfully, learn to look cheerfully, learn to act cheerfully, learn to listen cheerfully, learn to think cheerfully. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8. Paul says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. You see, the thoughts have a direct bearing on life. Now, I don't have the time to take you to all these references. You can just jot them down in your handout. But listen to some verses. Let me give you some verses on our thinking and on how they have a direct bearing on our life. Isaiah 26:3, the Bible says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Our mind has a bearing on our life. Proverbs 23:7, the Bible says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. And so wherever our mind is, however we're thinking, that's the kind of person that we're going to be. All right, we're done. But turn to one last place with me, Romans chapter 12. And look at verse number 1 with me. Romans chapter 12, verse number 1. We're talking about the right kind of thought life. Oh my, this is so important, especially in the day in which we're living. You understand, our kids are being bombarded with wickedness and smut. And if we'd be honest with you, it's not just the kids, is it? It's us, too. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, I beseech you, I beg you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world. Look what he says here, but be ye transformed. Okay? How do we do that? How are we transformed? But be ye transformed by the renewing of your, what? Of your mind. By the renewing of your mind. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let me give you a few things I found this week. Listen to this. Did you know that more has been discovered about our minds in the last 20 years than in all the time before that? Did you know that an estimated 60, listen to this, maybe this will put some of this in perspective, 60 to 80% of visits to primary care physicians have a stress-related component, 60 to 80%. Did you know that research shows that 75 to 98% of mental, physical, and behavioral illness comes from one's thought life? Now, if that's true, and it is, you know what that means? Man, we got to guard our thoughts. We've got to guard what comes in these eye gates. We've got to guard what comes in these ear gates. We've got to guard what goes into this computer. Man, our thought life has such an effect on our life. I love this. I found this earlier this week. Listen to this. Sir John Templeton said this. He said that we should view the mind as a garden. View the mind as a garden. Now listen to this. If you exercise no control, it, the mind, will become a weed patch and a source of shame and misery. If you exercise wise control, then it'll be filled with God's miracles and become a place of indescribable beauty. You are free to choose which. How can you do it? Simply, for example, now, I love this. Listen to this. Simply, for example, develop a habit of looking at each thought as you would plant. If it's worthy, if it fits the plan you desire for your mind, cultivate it. If not, replace it. How do you get it out of your mind? Simply by putting it in its place two or three thoughts of love or worship, for no mind can dwell on more than two or three thoughts at one time. That's good. Now, we have gardeners in this room this morning, and some of you are very particular about your garden. And if you're going through your garden and you see something in that garden that's going to hurt your other, your crop, you know what you do? You take it out. And you put something there in its place. Our mind is like that garden. Somebody said that changing the mind is not easy. A mind, listen to this, and we'll close with this, and we're going to be on our way. Somebody said a mind is more like a pile of millions of little rocks rather than a single big boulder. Now, I'm going to say that again, because when I found this, I thought, wow, man, that's incredible. A mind is more like a pile of millions of little rocks rather than a single big boulder. To change a mind, we need to carry thousands of little rocks from one pile to another, one at a time. In other words, church, we're not going to change our minds all at one time. We change our minds little by little by little by little by little. Which, by the way, is exactly why we ought to be here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Right. Why we ought to be here for revival. Why we ought to be involved in discipleship. Why we ought to be involved in all these things. And this is because our brains don't know how to rewire a full belief in one big haul. New neuron paths aren't created that quickly. You might be able to get a tiny percent of someone's mind to rewire a new belief in a given conversation, but minds change slowly and in unpredictable ways. So, okay, let me give you a perfect example of what I'm talking about. We change our mind by doing something continually, continually, continually. If you walk down to the woods, to a certain place in your woods one time, I want to be honest with you, you're not going to make a path. You know how you make a path? By walking down to that place over and over and over again. A lot of people are coming into our churches and their path in their mind is headed to a wrong place. It's headed to a bad place, a negative place, a dark place. That's why we have Sunday morning service, Sunday night service, Wednesday night service. That's why we do all the things that we do, because little by little, if we can keep them plugged in and keep them connected and they can keep walking that same path over and over and over toward righteousness, little by little by little, you know what's going to happen? Their mind is going to get changed. And so, hey, our actions affect our emotions. Hope that helped you a little bit today. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you so much for class time today. And God, I pray that we've received something that would make a lasting difference in our life. And God, I pray that we would have clean consciences. And I pray that we would have a cheerful outlook in life. And Lord, there's a lot of negative things in this world, But God, I pray that you'd help us to have a cheerful outlook. We're saved. We're born again. We're on our way to heaven. God, we have so much to be cheerful about. Lord, it's good to see Brother Dave. We're asking you to literally just anoint him today from heaven. God, I pray that he'd preach like he's never preached in his entire life. And God, I pray that folks would come to Christ, and I pray that people would be helped, and God, that we would be encouraged, and I pray that we would leave this place today being able to say it was so good to be in God's house. I pray others will roll in, and I pray that you'll give us a good time of fellowship during this break. And then, Lord, I pray that you will bless in every song and all that's playing today. I pray that you'll have your way in it. And we pray that the wonderful, wonderful Son of God would be lifted up and glorified in a great, great way. We love you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen. Amen. Have a good, listen, we're going to dismiss for about...